It's 2020, and you might as well jump. Rest in peace, Eddie Van Halen. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Godfathers of Podcasting, episode 27. This week's episode is brought to you by MakeGoodFood.ca and our new sponsors, NordVPN, Fight TV, AirVape, Just CBD, and eyeglasses.com. Go to our website, godfathersofpodcasting.com. Check out our sponsor page and learn about all the special deals that each one of those sponsors are offering right now. Go check them out. Buy some stuff. Keep us on the air. My name is Donnie DeSilva, and I'd like to introduce to all of you the David Lee Roth to my Sammy Hagar and the Wolfgang to my Alex. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Tidwell and your bro, Danny O. Fellas,
yo,
how the hell are we doing tonight?
I'm just chilling, listening to some Eddie right now, so that's cool, right? I'd rather wait. No, you can turn that back up. Listen to you all the time. That's crazy, right?
I actually have a kind of sort of interesting Eddie Van Halen story or moment.
We'll be the judge.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you know, you guys know me and my fandom of MJ. I often tell people that Thriller is the album that started me off on my whole music foray, you know, in life. And so Beat It was my favorite song for many years as a kid. And I told my grade two class, I'll never forget, I told them I played the guitar solo in Beat It. Wow. And they believed me because I could air guitar the shit out of that. I could still air guitar the shit out of it.
And
not that air guitar
children.
Means I can play. I can't play guitar for real. But I remember telling them that I also got $5. Michael Jackson paid me $5 to do it, which is $5 more than Eddie Van Halen actually got, according to legend and rumor about him showing up in the studio to do it and not wanting pay because he felt, A, he didn't want to do anything contrary to what his band was doing.
Right.
And so he figured, this song's not going to go anywhere anyways.
Well, no, it wasn't even that. It was he had an agreement that all the entire.
Oh, they actually did have an agreement. Okay.
They had an agreement amongst them that they weren't going to do any side project stuff whatsoever.
Yeah, that's
Eddie
that's
really wanted to do this. Eddie was like, I want to do this. And he's like, but I want to do it. And so apparently the part of the story that I've heard goes that even when he was in there, MJ had left or whatever,
that's
both
right.
did the solo. MJ, the song was done.
Yeah.
The song was done and they just needed the solo,
right?
He comes in, he bangs it off. MJ comes back and he's like, hey, I kind of did this to it and this to it and this to it. Check it out. Let me know what you think. You know what I mean? And then if you don't like it, whatever. And that was the final, like,
and
it turned into this little weird kind of collaboration, you know what I mean, at the end for him. And that's dope, right? Because
really
even
cool
to a guy like Eddie Van Halen, like MJ was on a different level, a different stratosphere of notoriety and of fame, right? We all think like Eddie Van Halen, huge famous as well, but to Eddie Van Halen, MJ was like on a different level. So that very cool that you get a collaboration like that.
That record literally, I mean, MJ was, he of course up there, but Thriller is the album that really sent him into the, you know, stratosphere, if you will. And of course, Beat It played a big role in that. Something cool that I only learned maybe a few years ago, all these years of being a big fan, is that there's a knock on the door that apparently Eddie Van Halen was trying to get into the studio. So he's banging on the door and that made it into the song. So right before the solo, if you listen closely to Beat It, you will hear bum, 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 bum. And then the guitar solo, they kept his solo and his knock and his ideas for rearranging the track. So rest in peace to Eddie. You actually had a big influence on me, believe it or not.
Yeah. For those youngsters out there who may not be familiar, Eddie Van Halen co-founded one of the greatest rock bands, Van Halen, back in 1972 with his brother Alex, and then later added Mark Stone and the great David Lee Roth, and they became just this iconic group. He's battled throat cancer for the last 6 years. He lost his battle just a couple days ago. To sort of summarize what Dan was just talking about, because Dan talks all the time on this show. He's a hip hop head. He's not a rock and roll man, right? So I saw a post this past week from my Trini brother, Jason Blackman. Dan, you met him before.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason is the realest dude. He posted all over social media and said, I thought this was really poignant. Back when I was a kid, there was hardly any hip hop on the air in the 80s. You would know all the songs on the radio if you liked them or not.
Right.
And Jump was one of the most popular and iconic songs back then. Rest in peace, Eddie Van Halen, just 65 years old. Tid, I want to ask you, greatest guitarist of all time?
Top three.
Ooh. Who you got?
I mean, that's still high.
Who's your power ranking?
There's huge things that you got to take into consideration. You know what I mean? Like if we're talking to Mount Rushmore and stuff like that,
he's on it.
And absolutely he is, you know, and then, Johnson.
Oh, okay.
Right. You got to go back to Jimmy? Where it all. Yes. Yes. Jimmy.
I was going to say Jimmy too.
You know,
you were only going to say that because Jimmy's black.
Yeah. So I was going to say his name. That's the only point I made.
No,
you don't know any other guitarists.
Jimi Hendrix, Eddie Van Halen, and the third guy that Tid was mentioning.
That's all the guitar players Dan knows.
Wow. Wow, the girl with the big hair who did the video with Michael Jackson.
And TJ Habibi.
Shout out to our boy TJ.
That's TJ.
Right? Getting far less press this week is the passing of Johnny Nash. And, you know, just before showtime, it reminded me, Tid, did you want to say something about Johnny Nash?
Yo, kind of a very, like, everybody was like, who is Johnny Nash? But then you're like, oh, you got it, like, tears on my pillow. I can see clearly now, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, yeah, that guy. And it's like, fuck you for not knowing who he was.
Yeah, man.
Right? Because you all should, because that's a dude, 80 years old or whatever. And we still, as soon as you mention those are the bangers. They don't write stuff like that anymore. Those are the ones that you remember forever. And those are dudes that need to be remembered forever.
In our live Facebook chat right now, on our Facebook group, Kirsten just chimed in on greatest guitar players of all time and said Jimmy Page. And yeah, how can you argue with Jimmy Page? I mean, he was an influence to Eddie Van Halen.
Go away.
You're so misogynistic.
Go away. No, not that. I mean the Jimmy Page thing. There's like 33,000 different ways to play Stairway to Heaven. Like, get the hell out of here.
So, you know, rest in peace, Eddie Van Halen.
Absolutely. The king of the sixth string.
The king of the two hands on the fretboard.
That guy, right? Just unbelievable.
I know he didn't invent. I know he didn't invent that, but he popularized it.
Everybody wanted, like, at that age when Van Halen came out, everybody wanted to learn how to play Van Halen stuff. Eruption was like, oh, I got to learn how to play Eruption. All of a sudden, amazing. I didn't even I wanted to learn how to play guitar. Couldn't do it just because of Eddie Van Halen. You know what I mean? I was like, no, I'm gonna stick to playing drums. That's it. I'm break shit.
So, I want to share with you guys, switching gears,
yeah, man,
a little bit from my personal life today. So get this.
Just therapy.
Yeah, it's a little bit of therapy. 6:45 a.m. this morning, my mom, who you guys have both met in the past, wakes up to find out that her big, beautiful house that both you guys have been to completely flooded.
Oh, my God.
The basement.
Yep. There was a pipe in the powder room that burst and that just took out the base. Took
isn't that where,
seriously?
Isn't that where you used to stay?
Yeah,
yeah, man. That
stuff finally caught up, huh?
Don't blame me, asshole.
How much water was down there? Did you see it?
Hundreds of gallons.
Oh.
Like how high?
Oh, in terms of collecting, probably a couple of inches, but like
it's a big basement.
Man.
Yeah, right.
It wasn't the entire basement. I'd say about three quarters of the basement, but I mean, we're talking about. Don't blame me. It was a pipe.
No. What did you do? I mean, yeah, but don't blame me.
I went over there.
Right? Guilt comes from within, Donnie. Just so you know.
I went over there. We got a million times. First thing I had to do, Mom, chill out. Because, you know, because that's an issue on the best of days. And I'm asking her, please chill out. I'm worried about you.
Right. She got a hold.
We got a hold of insurance. We got a hold of contractors. We had this emergency response team that came out within an hour. Let me tell you, if you are in the Greater Toronto Area and ever have an emergency like this, Restorex, no, they didn't ask me to give them a plug. This is the greatest company I've ever dealt with. For not real. Only did they come in immediately and take care of everything, they contacted the company who's going to come in and launder everything, the rugs, the towels, everything, the clothing in the closets that had been damaged.
they contacted this company that comes in and examines all the electronics that were in the basement, see if they've been affected by water. Big screen TV, my mom's big massage chair that she has down there, everything.
Yo, what did you throw in the water before they got there?
He said, give me 20, give me 20, give me 20. I'll be right back. I got some stuff in the truck. I need
to start chucking all this shit.
So there was tons, like these guys. And then on top of all that, just like,
damn it. I just bought this drone.
On top of managing the whole project, they were like mental health therapists. They calmed her down, and everyone was so great and so wonderful. So Liam from Restorex, much respect, man. You took a tragedy today, a family emergency, and turned it into a great situation. So, and I want to thank my sister, my brother-in-law that came out as well, dropped everything this morning at 7 a.m. and helped out. So thank you, everyone. I know my mom's
okay, right?
Yeah, my mom's good now. She's chilled the fuck out. She's with my sister tonight because they've got a million, you know, like they got the drying mats and they've got the industrial blowers and the humidifiers, and it sounds like an airport hangar, right? So
those situations are especially tough, no, because I know mom's is alone like mine is. And, you know, anytime she calls me, bro, and I can hear it in her voice. I'm sure you could hear it the second you heard your mom's voice. Like, oh, man. And you got to be there, and you got to take care of business, man. So respect to you for, you know, holding it down for mom's, man. Hopefully everything turns out okay down there.
You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, man.
Sometimes I just hit that red X.
You're such a dick. So since last week's show, it feels like there's been a lot of stuff going on. While we were on the air, there was a debate happening, which obviously we weren't able to talk about because it was happening while we were on the air. There's been another debate since. Trump apparently got COVID. And then on top of everything else, the real one takeaway I've learned from all this, guys, anyone can moderate a presidential debate. You don't have to be good at your job.
No.
You don't have to have the ability to control two loud ass motherfuckers.
As long as
you can get dressed.
Thank you, Donnie.
I mean, hey, hold on. Thank
you. Keep going, because
literally, I'm trying to talk over here, please.
I don't want to ask you. What about Benghazi? What about Benghazi? No,
I don't even know anybody in Benghazi.
Tell me about your emails, Tid.
I'm telling you, there's going to be a thing, and we're going to do a thing. It's going to be a great thing. It's going to be a bigger thing than anything you've ever seen before. Excuse me.
I can't handle this.
Thank you, Donnie. Donnie, that's your time. Thank you, Tid. Please, same question.
I hear the sound.
Thank you, Donnie. Thank you.
I hear the sound of everyone tuning out. So let's.
Yeah, I'm waiting for somebody. I'm talking.
See, that's who should moderate the presidential debates, Chris Tidwell.
Absolutely.
Tid, how would you have handled that situation?
With a lot of guys in the truck with their finger on the button.
No, but seriously, if it was up to you to use your voice and control the situation, what would you have done? You command a room.
It's pretty simple. You just tell them, shut up. You don't say thank you. You don't keep saying thank you like you're trying to stop them. You're like, shut up. Yeah. Shut up. Your time is done. That's it.
People don't want to hear it.
If you couldn't answer the question and you never did answer the question in the first place, you kept going back to two questions ago. We're not talking about that. And if you go into it, guess what? I'm going to interrupt you. I'm going to tell you that is not the question that I asked you. And I'm cutting into your time to tell you that you're an asshole and an idiot for not answering the question. And that goes across the board.
Where they fucked up is that what you need is a Jamaican. You need a Jamaican to sit there and go, thank you, that's your time. Senator Harris. And then when he keeps going, go, hey, you're not hearing me, shut up, bomba clot.
Right?
Let me tell you again. Jesus Christ. Sorry, Senator Harris. Go on now. That's what you need.
Right? Here's the thing that I took away from the
Vice
President. I nearly
spit my beer all over my friggin' mic.
Tell me that wouldn't work.
That would have been two weeks in a row. 2 weeks in a row, he would have wasted alcohol like that.
Oh, yeah, right.
Right?
Shut up.
So here's the thing. The biggest thing that I took away from it, though, is you can definitely tell that I don't feel that, like, Mike Pence is weird as a dude he is. I don't think he was this same person that he was 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm. I think that being around the people that he's in has made him his view slightly askew. That's what I took away from this. I mm-hmm. also took away the fact that I think Kamala Harris, you can definitely tell she has spent her time watching and studying Barack Obama tape and the cadence and the delivery and the hand signals and the this and that. And because as we're watching it, we're sitting there going, this seems oddly familiar to us, and it was comfortable to us. And that's what came across to me, the way that she handled herself. And then in that split second where the interruption first started, she was like, nah, son, I was waiting for her to reach down, pull off a high heel and be like, you want to do this? And whip that sumbitch right through the glass. Like, she was like, no, I'm talking. Settle the fuck down.
Yeah. What I really liked about what she did too, and I find that I argue this way. Like, I'm always bringing up points of evidence. It's like what I did in school as an English major, always writing an essay, writing a thesis, coming up with evidence to support your thesis. To me, that's the best way to argue. And every time she would list a point, something that she has done, she's accomplished, or something that Joe Biden has done or accomplished, it really offset all of the shit talk that really was coming out of Mike Pence's mouth, like, Donald Trump has done an excellent job handling the coronavirus pandemic since day one. He's put the safety of Americans first. It's like, you have no evidence to back up that statement.
Zero evidence necessary. Evidence is old school.
And I mean, I will say this for Mike Pence. At the very least, he has a far better ability to make horseshit sound plausible than Donald Trump.
He's actually a politician.
Trump is faking it till he's making it. And my dude, Trump didn't waste no time fucking up all the work that Mike Pence put into that debate. Because shortly after that, or I think it might have been this morning, I'm not totally sure, Donald Trump came out and actually said, getting the coronavirus was a blessing from God. Did you guys see that?
No, there was a clip of the flood.
He said it was a blessing from God because he feels so great now, and it's the best he's felt in 20 years. And now that he has it, and he said this on Fox Business, he's immune. He thinks he's immune, and he's telling everybody he's now immune to COVID. So it's a blessing from God that he got it, because now that he's had it, he feels so great, and he can't get it anymore. And there's motherfuckers who are going to vote for
this. There's that school.
That he never had it. That's another theory.
Right.
Because that's
as crazy as trying to find out who actually shot Kennedy. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to go down as one of those things if that's the case. Because if that's the case, then okay, you got to ask yourself, why would he do that? Well, quite simply, is to try to rally the people
of
the United States. Try to rally the United States because it's an election, and say, hey, this is not as crazy and is not a big a deal. This is what he's saying, and we need to get back open. He's trying to get people to feel comfortable, but in the meantime, he's neglecting to understand that he's already like shitting on all of the people and the families of all of the people that have already died.
Right.
In our live chat right now on Facebook, Shinzy Leopard is saying, she's alluding to the fact that the true star of the debate this week was not Kamala and was not Pence. It was the fly.
The fly, baby.
The fly that landed on Pence's head and the internet, not sleep.
No,
the internet
never.
Immediately, minutes later, there's memes everywhere. Flies are attracted to shit. And it's everywhere, right?
Well,
and I'm
especially,
like, man, the internet doesn't rest for a second.
If I'm not mistaken, that fly showed up during the white supremacy talks and him attempting to... bypass the Breonna Taylor, whether or not Breonna Taylor, if justice was served, he was attempting to answer the justice was served question. And that fly landed on his head on cue, like, you motherfucker.
Now, here's the thing.
I
saw this great thing online. It was one of the funniest things I've seen. It said, by rights, by his religious beliefs, if that fly had laid eggs in his hair, he has to carry them full time.
Amazing.
That goes on the fucking greatest hits tape by Tid for sure. You're right. You better carry those fucking eggs to
full
term,
bro.
Pence.
I want to see some larvae coming out of that thing.
I want to switch gears quickly.
Oh, that's good.
because I got a couple things I want to talk about. Our chat room right now is filling up, and I've got a screen open right here where I'm seeing all the people watching us live on godfathersofpodcasting.com. Tons of them out there right now. Everyone is waiting for our featured guest who's going to be joining us in about 9 minutes time. Guys, I want to say this. Ever since I was a teenager, I've had this little schoolboy crush on Drew Barrymore. Okay. I love me some Drew Barrymore. Ooh,
I'm glad you didn't say Drew Carey.
I had an opportunity back when Tid and I used to work together in the clubs to meet Drew Barrymore one night when she was there at the Much Music Video Awards. Love me some Drew. And I wanted so bad to like her new TV show, her new talk show. I want so bad for it to be good. Mm. And it's so bad. It's so bad. Like, I can't even understand. They even parodied her on SNL this week. Like, it is so horribly bad.
Why is it so bad? I didn't even know she had a talk show.
It just started.
What's the premise?
Yeah,
it's Drew and her friends, right? Okay. So like the first episode, she has the girl she did Charlie's Angels with, her best friends, Cameron Diaz and Lucy Liu. And they're just sitting there and but it's an interview about nothing. It's like, it's been 20 years since we've all been together. It's been a long time. And then it's like, wait, are we together? And all of a sudden they did some weird shit because it looks like they're in a studio distanced apart, like six feet, and Cameron Diaz's chair just evaporates because she's like, I'm in California. So they did some like special effects bullshit to make it look like she was in. Now that was kind of dope, the fact that they had that kind of technology, but this is the interview. It's been so long. And then she does an interview with her ex-husband Tom Green. I love Tom Green. And Tom is sitting there going, yeah, Drew, it's been a long time. It's been a long time. It's been a long time. Been a long time.
An interview with Tom Green wasn't entertaining.
And I love you. It's been a long time. Like, it was so awkward, man. Wow. I'm sitting there cringing, feeling bad for her. Drew, stop, please. I beg you, stop. Let the three of us produce your show. We'll make it good.
What would make it good? Like,
not helpless? Doing that. Well, she could do like she did on the David Letterman show that time.
Well, I'm saying there is all of the comedians and actors and stuff like that are getting completely naked and sending the messages out, and like they're getting naked for you to go out and vote and stuff like that, right? But we got like Mark Ruffalo and stuff like that.
I don't want to see him naked.
No, but Sarah Silverman is involved in.
Mind
that.
You, like, if I'm he was okay the Hulk, that, you know, if he was the Hulk and naked, that's something you just need to see.
You don't see, you're going to all of this and you don't need to see the whole Hulk. You just want to know if he's got a big Hulk green dick.
Well, the way that Thor reacted in Thor Ragnarok when Hulk was naked and his eyes bugged out of his head, I'm thinking Thor gave it up, that Hulk's hung like a rhinoceros.
Or it was like he should be a lot bigger.
Right. It's the total opposite. Like, bro, that's what you're working with?
Yeah.
That's what you're working with.
It's like steroids dick. Apparently it shrinks the shit.
You think Hulk's on steroids?
Man. No.
Hulk's not Hulk Hogan. Hulk, the Incredible.
Yeah, I know. I'm just Hulk's saying, maybe his hulking up has the same impact as steroids. I don't know. Why are we talking about Hulk's dick? I'm just trying to get in on the conversation.
Because it's funny.
I need to get out of this conversation.
Switching gears again, completely different side of the spectrum. Dan, I wanted to get your take on this. Big story that broke this week. Wolf City Police Officer Sean Lucas on Saturday, killing a man, Jonathan Price, outside of a convenience store, a small Texas town. Sean Lucas charged with murder a few days after the incident went down. To recap, in case you've been living under a rock or been dealing with your mom's flood and you didn't know what was going on, Officer Sean Lucas was called to an incident where there was some kind of an argument, some kind of a fight, something going on. And this gentleman, Jonathan Price, was not involved, but was trying to intervene, trying to break it up, trying to do something. And when the officer came on site, Price kept saying things to the cop like, you good? You doing good? You doing good? Trying to shake his hand. Now, why you try to shake someone's hand in the middle of COVID is beyond my thought. But by the way he was acting, Officer Lucas thought that Price may have been intoxicated, told him to chill the fuck out, told him to stop, told him to you know, basically kneel down, or he was going to be tased. At this point, Price has done nothing wrong. He's broken no laws. And he's like, nah, man, I'm good. I'm going to head out. He got tased, apparently tried to get up after being tased and took 4 bullets to the chest and was pronounced dead at a hospital later that evening. Dan, I know you were talking and our guest has just joined us. So we've only got like 30 seconds here, Dan. Yeah. I know you were talking on social media today about how Price, the victim, was a Blue Lives Matter supporter. Uh-huh. Despite being a black man, he was an anti-BLM guy. Your message that you spread on social media today was what?
My message was this: stop pretending racism doesn't exist. There are so many people out there, and I am speaking to members of the black community, who are, as you said, anti-BLM, although they're pro Blue Lives Matter, the other BLM, pro Trump, trying to get the rest of us to be convinced that it's all in our heads. There are several reports that Jonathan Price was a Blue Lives Matter / Trump supporter. Also, there was plenty of reports coming out about how he was a pillar of his community, a football coach, a wonderful stand-up human being, the type of human being who would interject when he sees an argument. Apparently, it was more than an argument. It was apparently a dude who had hit his girlfriend. Either way, he was trying to help someone.
Right.
He was clearly unarmed. He was clearly doing nothing wrong. He was on the side of good. He was on the side of upholding the law, and he still took 4 bullets. It doesn't matter if you support Trump or not. It doesn't matter if you're pro-cop or anti or whatever your political allegiance is. I've said this thousands of times, both on the show and off, that if you allow your political allegiances to automatically make your decisions for you, you're an idiot. Because if you were of the mind that apparently Jonathan Price was, you would go up to a cop and try to shake his hand and say, how's it going? Have a good, are you good?
Sure, sure.
Because you're under the impression that this cop could have no inculcated racism in him. He sees me just like he sees everybody else, and I'm not doing anything wrong. And just like all the advice we're continually told to take, like just, you know, comply and these types of things, nothing could go wrong. But of course, something did, and it continues to, and it will continue to, whether you believe in it or you don't believe in it. If you're black, you're a target. I say that in my new song, Hot Popsicles. I'm not trying to get into promo right now, but this is what's in. No, real talk. I have actually said that. If you're black, you're a target. If you're white, you were martyred. And this is the thing that keeps happening, regardless of your political allegiances. So listen, may he rest in peace. He definitely didn't deserve it. I am glad that in this case, the cop has already been arrested and charged with murder.
Right.
Very rare for that to happen. I'm glad that has happened. But
and if there's one silver lining here, maybe the George Floyd case, the Breonna Taylor case, and others like it have made people wake up. We can't let this guy, this
that
cop.
That is my point, black Trump supporters. Wake up. We're not making this shit up. They got one of you. Why? Because it don't matter what you do. There are cops, black cops in uniform who've been harassed by racists. Okay? You could be a veteran like Sean Reed, who got smoked by the cops and they laughed over his dead body, talking about they better have a closed casket.
Yeah.
So whether you served your country, you're a police officer, you're an EMT or a person who works on the front line the way Breonna Taylor was working towards, right? A first responder or what have you, someone in the medical field. It doesn't matter. You are still a target. It's got to stop.
All right. That's it. It's got to, you know what I mean?
The man was going to, he's offering a handshake, Donnie, all reports. And by the way,
handshakes are illegal in Texas.
Sorry?
Handshakes are illegal in Texas, punishable by death.
Apparently, if you a black man trying to listen, let me just lastly say this. Apparently, there is footage of this because there's security camera in this store. I believe
there's body cam footage. It's all
body cam footage. Obviously, we haven't seen it yet. But we all know what we're going to see.
Yep.
Okay. Wake up, people. You have less than a month away to vote in order to possibly make some changes here. Wake up.
All right. Let's all take
leave it at that.
Let's all take a deep breath. Ooh. Let's cleanse our palates.
Ooh. What at the same time?
Yes. Everyone cleanse your palate and let's welcome, ladies and gentlemen, tonight's featured guest. Our featured guest tonight was born in New Delhi before moving to Lexington, Kentucky as a child and eventually to the Great White North in Manitoba. And after years of playing with different bands on the local indie scene, she independently released a self-titled album in 1994 and followed that up with five more critically acclaimed albums and a bunch of huge-ass singles. She has literally toured the world with some of the biggest names in music history, including Snoop Dogg, Dido, Sarah McLachlan, Sheryl Crow, Billy Idol, The Cult, Smashing Pumpkins, Ministry, Green Day, and so many more. And in addition to her legendary music career, she has also shown her skills as an actor with more than 20 credits to her name. And if that wasn't enough, she's a poet, a tour manager, a fucking straight edge vegan. She's a business owner. And I think she's got really nice posture. And she once grabbed cancer by the balls and told it to fuck off. Sorry to gush, but she's one of my personal all-time favorites. She's one of the top-selling Canadian musicians of all time. And just like her, Jim never loved me either. I know I shouldn't be so unprofessional with the way I fanboy. Let's just say it was a moment of weakness. I should examine my head. It's just a moment of weakness, but I meant every word I said. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Biff Naked.
You are amazing. I can't even believe that. I can't even believe that. I need to hire you.
How the hell are you?
Oh my God. I'm like, my eyes are like moist, like listening to.
And there it is.
I'm so touched. I'm so touched. I'm moved, you know?
I'm never going
Thank
to let.
Thank you so much.
I'm never going to let anyone forget that Biff Naked said I made her moist. I'm never going to let anyone
you
forget
did.
That.
Come here. So I have a.
Oh, is there a puppy?
Yeah. So this is. Oh, this is my Biff husband. Furry. My husband named this Ace Greeley, but
Dirt
I
think, Ace.
Yeah, you're just Grace. Yeah, kiss mommy on the teeth. Yeah, yeah, that's teeth with TH. Sorry, she was, she's just over here. She's supposed
How
to
be. Old is she?
She's 5 months old. And,
amazing.
Yeah, you know, I always had dogs. My last little guy passed away 7 years ago. He was 17 years old. Oh, and it just, you know, then we moved here. It just didn't work out. And somehow we got lucky and this little dog had to be rehomed.
Do you just have the one Biff?
Currently.
Yeah. So you're not currently. Like, you're not like my boy, Chris Tidwell here. That's got what? 22 dogs right now.
Right. Lucky, no, lucky. Right now we have a few, probably about Amazing. 12 in our place right now. My wife, she does some work with some rescue. We've talked about it on the show and stuff
Very
like that.
Nice.
So we've got a lot of dogs.
Amazing.
Very yeah. small. So it's, yeah, and you get it.
Oh yeah.
You know,
100%. It's just
there's nothing better, you know, there's nothing better than no. in my opinion, I get an opportunity, you know, it's my wife's thing and stuff like that, but I get an opportunity to play with these dogs and help rehabilitate them so that yeah. they can go and you know what I mean, because they're broken. We refer to it as like the land of misfit dogs pretty much around here, you know what I mean? They come to
amazing
broken
that's
and we
amazing.
Do what we can sometimes yeah. it doesn't work out, and that's why we have so many that are ours.
a that's lot of amazing fails, yeah so for sure yeah. foster fails is right yeah no we yeah. got really lucky. I'm in the senior dogs, but somehow this little puppy needed an urgent rehoming. So
she's adorable.
It happens. Yeah, it happened. If I could breastfeed the dog, I would, believe me. But you know,
well, put that on OnlyFans. You're
I was gonna say that's an OnlyFans thing for sure.
That will become a new thing.
Biff, I wish I could.
I wanted to ask you, when I do that intro and like the response to us announcing that you were going to be on the show has been amazing. And I wanted to ask you, when you do something, like I know recently you wrote a memoir, and I know that, you know, you were working on a memoir. And when I talk about the fact that everyone refers to you as a legend in the music scene, do you feel like you're too goddamn young to be a legend? Like, does that just feel weird to you?
No, no. And I don't feel like I'm a legend at all. I think anyone who's in the music business at all, and the arts at all, whether you are have your own dance studio, whatever you're doing, a photographer. I mean, you know, it's weird. And I know you guys probably feel this in a variety of ways. There, you cannot really make a living unless you put butts in seats. I mean, in my job. I have to put butts in seats to be able to get paid usually.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of reasons for that. Technology is one of them, but I don't, you know, that's cool. Napster started in 95. You know, we've been well aware of how things go. And so it's nothing that we're upset about or begrudge. It just is what it is. And so our, you know, business model, we've got to be on tour, putting butts in seats. And this year, obviously, that hasn't happened. We postponed a couple of really big tours we had twice now. And, you know, in the meantime, making art and stuff like that is something that everybody's doing, and everyone who's doing it is a legend, not me. I think that being, you know, I don't know if it was Tegan and Sarah who said it, but they're really funny girls. And at one point they were calling themselves, you know, they're like a heritage act at this point. I laughed so hard. So I was like, you just nailed it. That's how I feel in a lot of ways. But, you know, I think that having the experience and the lived experience, besides cancer or, you know, dogs or vegan or any of this stuff, the truth is the lived experience of touring and playing shows and having to be professional and consistently perform a 90-minute show every night, 200 shows a year for 18 years straight. Cancer saved me from that, you know, in many ways. I'd never had a vacation in my entire life. I didn't have a really normal adult life at all. You know, because I was always on tour. I was always the only one that was not drinking, because if I had a tablespoon of beer, then, you know, I either woke up married or lost my voice because I talked too much or whatever the case. So I could not drink alcohol and do my job. And being a vegan was something that was just came naturally to me. But I was always the only vegan on the tour bus. I didn't hawk anybody. I hawk them. You got to go to this place that, you know, I just managed on my own. And that's just how that was also our generation. You know, it's just different for every generation. We didn't have a lot of those amenities that they have today. I would never eat a vegan hot dog, you know, because I'd never ate a hot dog. You know, why would I, you know, why would I want the equivalent?
It's a good ass point.
I don't know. So anyway, it just is what it is. And I think that anyone who can hold down a job is a legend, because in this day and age, you can't even hold down a job. I look at all my friends. I got friends that work at Ford, for example. It is incredible to me that they are there for 20 years, you know, right out of high school, they got hired and they're still working. I'm like, oh my God, God bless you, man. Yeah, that is so hard in this day and age. And I think same with the arts. It's really hard to make a living, but
well, you know what? And my
artists, we love it.
And my bro Danny O here, he can relate, because what, you're releasing a new video tomorrow.
Wow. And the video will be out tomorrow.
And you've been doing this for how many years now? Since you were 13 years old on Electric Circus?
That's right.
7 years.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Thanks, kids.
7 long years. Yeah.
Look, just because he tells the casting director that he's 20 doesn't mean you need to fall for that shit.
It's all lighting. If I put the light just right and look up, you can't.
You're
see
still
the
42.
My eyes.
Amazing. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Listen, I'm excited to have you on the show. As a fellow songwriter, there's a lot I want to talk to you about in terms of the songwriting. But since you just talked about it, I am curious to know how you've, not that you are struggling by any stretch, but how have you managed throughout the COVID pandemic without putting those butts in the seats? Because I know I've done a handful of online performances, but not a lot by way of what usually makes me my money. So what has Biff Naked been doing since COVID-19 has pretty much wrecked our industry?
Totally wrecked our industry, wrecked all the venues and the opportunities for people. You know, the rest of us can just keep doing what we do. I was in the middle of trying to write a new book about cancer that I'm still working on. It's a bit above my cerebral level, so it's been really hard to do because it's a really serious book. So I've been working on that anyway. I have a company that I work with called Mona Lisa Healing, which is a CBD company. And you know, anybody who's an entrepreneur will tell you it's difficult to get a new company off the ground when you've got a market that's saturated with like 3,000 you know, other companies doing the same thing.
Yes.
But of course, everyone can tell you that their stuff is better or greater or whatever the case. And anyway, it's been really interesting. I had a couple, speaking gigs a lot. Those got canceled. Our tours got postponed. And all we're doing, like everybody else whose work gets postponed, we're just trying to make it there. We're trying to get there and just like keep holding on, keep a little, maybe October. Oh, okay. Maybe like December.
Yeah.
And that's cool. I mean, You know, I broke my wrist the 4th of July this year. I've never broken a bone in my life. And not in
is there a good story? Is there a good story to this wrist break? Did you
I
do
wish
something
there
cool?
was. You know, I think of like all the stupid stuff I've done. Grappling, for example. I hate jujitsu. I was grappling there, you know, in a school that didn't necessarily use a belted system about 5 years ago. How I didn't break my neck, I will never understand. It's like, I swear, I believe in guardian angels, how I didn't break my neck. But the dumbest way to break my wrist was as simple as the same way everyone breaks their wrist, trying to stop yourself from falling. I was on my BMX, and that's just how it went. I wasn't doing tricks, of course. I wasn't doing like a big jump, nothing like that. I was just,
So how is your jujitsu game? I'm curious.
Terrible. Awful. I hate grappling. I'm not a good sparrer. Any of my coaches will tell you that I'm actually quite lousy because I don't want to, I don't hit anybody. They're like, what are you doing? You got to kick them.
If we get past all this social distancing, I'm thinking we put together a pay-per-view of Biff Naked versus Chris Tidwell in a jiu-jitsu.
Tid.
You know,
I'm a terrible.
They both got
grappler.
The tats for it.
No,
you
see,
guys are
I think we meet in a common middle, like we go years ago, because I know that Biff did a video for a certain pro wrestling movie, where she got to be involved with some pro wrestling stuff. The funny story, roundabout story, very good friend of ours here on the show, David Linton, Dave Rector, he was your body double.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
For that music video.
Wow. Yeah. That was so long ago. That was for Twisted Sister song.
Exactly.
So much fun. It was so much fun. And I love everything about martial arts. We did Bodog fight when we were doing Bodog music. And back then, I mean, UFC had just started, and for someone like me to be in a helicopter in Costa Rica with Fedor, or to be interviewing Chael Sonnen when he was just a wee sprig of a man,
just a little shit talker,
you know, and get to go places like Moscow and St. Petersburg. I mean, I could have died happy. So I could have died happy all this time, years.
How'd you get hooked up with the Bodog stuff?
Oh, you know what? It was basically what we wanted to do was create a music company, and we created one with them. We created Bodog Music in partnership with Calvin and his company, and it was amazing. And Bodog Fight was amazing. We even had Bodog Battle of the Bands, which was a show we did throughout the United States with me, Billy Duffy, and Johnny Rotten as the judges. And it was like, I mean, I just laugh now because I just think, man, that stuff is so much fun, you know? And even, you know, and I'm sure you guys can think back in your own careers and your own touring and your own, you know, just your own professional lives and all of the things that may have been adverse at the time or have been challenging at the time. The older you get, the more fondly you look back upon them.
Yeah.
And it's almost like there was never any strife or stress. And I think that for me, all of my memory is like skewed. Like I'm wired that way, even on my cancer stuff. You know, I mean, I had a riot. You know, I always say it was my cancer vacation from tour because I didn't realize that I wasn't really having much of a life until I was stuck at home going through chemo. It was the greatest time of my life.
Biff, how did that actually change your perspective on life, if anything? I mean, you and my mom share something in common in being breast cancer survivors. And being that it's been in my family and she survived and you're this excellent example of how to overcome something as harrowing as that, how has it, if anything, changed your perspective on life in general? And what advice would you give to people dealing with something as hard as cancer?
Oh boy, any health crisis that you're dealing with, whether it's cancer, whether it is coming back from a car accident, whatever the case, you know, that is going to be something that is a daily overcoming. It is a daily, but it's also a daily victory. And that's the truth. Every day that you make it through, regardless of whether it's cancer or whatever you're trying to get through, every single day that you get to live another day and try again, you know, doesn't matter how hard it is. The fact that you got through that one day, even hour by hour, is a victory for you. And I really think that, you know, for me, I mentioned, you know, being in a helicopter with Theodore, I could have died happy. You know, I could have died happy. You know,
not me. He smells
for a lot of reasons. You know, just because like that's so wow. This is like I can't believe that this. You know, this. You know, little kid from drama class gets to be in this situation. I mean, and I just think amazing. That having that attitude with whatever it is you're doing in your life, even whether it's something that is fantastic or whether it is something that is a serious personal challenge and a health challenge, you know, you're going to thrive. You are going to make it through and you're going to thrive regardless of the steps that you have to take. Mm-hmm.
I have a question I want to ask you about songwriting, but before I do that, mm-hmm. I want to mention this. My cousin is in our live Facebook chat right now, Humberto da Silva. This is the man who taught me about music as a child. Oh. And he is a huge fan of yours. He's saying, yeah. I saw Biff and T.O. twice, hardcore, one of the best Canadian songwriters. He also said, Spaceman is arguably as good a song as Space Oddity. He said, Tango Shoes is arguably as good a feminist anthem as I Am Woman. Like
amazing. Wow. I'm honored.
And I'll tell you right now, my cousin is a music snob. Like he's just a punk rock guy.
I'm honored. Music snob.
And so like to hear him gush about you that way tells me everything, right? But I wanted to ask you, I mentioned like he was a punk rock guy that taught me about punk rock when I was a kid. You started as a punk rock chick and your music has really evolved. I mean, when you go from that to Spaceman to Jim, right? The musical progression is pretty wild and it's pretty amazing. Is that something that you feel comes just with maturing as an artist? Is that something where you're constantly just changing? Do you think that life just makes you want to do things a little differently? What is that as a songwriter that really inspires you to constantly evolve?
Well, you know, I think that for me, I've always been a lyricist and a melody girl as the vocalist. And so I always say I'm at the mercy of who I'm writing with, you know, always. And the way that we seem to always work the best is I write with acoustic. Spaceman was an acoustic song that was written on acoustic guitar with vocal. And it is a sad, lilting little song that was written in a small bedroom in 1994, where it was just like, you know, I see your face on television almost every day. It's just like, pick me. Like if you're going to abduct someone, pick me. It was like, Spaceman, oh Spaceman, come rescue me from this. Right. And that energy, you know, obviously it was Glenn Rosenstein who produced Ibificus, who brought in many of the other elements to that song. What can I say? I was very lucky to work with everyone I worked with because I was allowed somehow to be able to put records together with 10 or 11 songs. And none of them had anything to do with each other. I could do a rap song. I could do a metal song. I could do a pop song. And that was really the pattern I was allowed to take, you know, for the rest of the records I made, including the one we're doing right now called Champion.
Right.
Jim was the first single. We had two other singles. One was for May. One was for September. But truly with the seriousness of COVID-19 and how people were struggling, I just didn't feel like putting out the second single yet, which was kind of a really fun song. It didn't feel fun in May, and then and then in September this other song. So I mean, you know, I just think songwriting for me is always going to be the same thing. It's always going to be me finding a vehicle for my poetry.
But when you have a little, oh, sorry, man.
Sorry, I was just going to ask this one quick thing. When you say, you just made a comment and said a lot of your songs just have nothing to do with each other, right? And you're fortunate enough to be able to have that freedom. But, you know, I would push you a little bit on that because when I listen to songs like I Love Myself Today, when I listen to Spaceman, when I listen to Jim, I just think this woman is a champion for mental health. Ironic that Champion is the project you're working on. But those all have a mental health thread, all of them, to me anyway. Maybe that wasn't necessarily the intent, but it really feels that way to me. Maybe it's just
because
I'm.
That's amazing. Because I mean, anyone who writes songs or makes art in any way, it is actually every single one of them is doing it as a catharsis in a way. Yeah. We are doing mental health work on ourselves, and we're sharing that with people.
Well, I was going to ask you, as a fellow songwriter, I know, and maybe you feel this way too, that anytime I'm interviewed or asked about my music, my favorite questions are when they specifically quote song lyrics and ask me about the song lyrics. Shows that they're paying attention, they really have something that they're curious about, and they're digging into the music. So I actually want to quote something of yours because I'm curious about it. Because I'm actually glad Donnie brought up the mental health thing, because as Tid and I were talking about earlier, especially now, there's so many important things to discuss in our music, or at least we feel compelled to. But I want to take you back a little ways in your career and have a little fun, because I was just going to look up some lyrics and I'm like, what lyrics do I want to ask Biff about? And I found a song called
Look at Dan doing show prep.
And succulent.
He never does this.
Oh, yeah.
One of my favorite words.
It's my favorite plant.
Very good. Very good. Right?
Yeah. So I just wanted to.
But I'm also an Anthony Jeselnik fan. So
very nice. Nicely done.
On Dan.
Just wanted a little insight on what the motivation was, what the vibe was, what the inspiration was for lyrics such as "You make me such a juicy girl. I want to be your entire world.
Yeah.
My pigtails, they stand straight on end. Baby, there's no need to pretend. Won't you kiss my pink teddy bear? Try not to cry when you spank me in the chair."
Now I'm moist.
Can we isolate that for future stuff? Can we isolate that whole thing? Needs to be isolated.
Oh, I was just like, this
we're
is
gonna play. We're gonna play Dan saying that on a loop from now on.
That was me. That was my mentality at 24. For sure.
How much fun was that?
But you know, the truth is, and I know the song, and I absolutely know who it was for.
Okay.
Was my boyfriend at the time.
Okay.
And, you know, I meant every word. Like, it was my way of, that was a love song, really and truly. And my first teddy bear was this little pink teddy bear that was missing an eye, truthfully.
Oh, so it's a legit pink teddy bear?
But it's also a double entendre. Of course it is. Of course it is. But yeah, there was that.
Was he missing an eye? Was your boyfriend missing an eye?
No.
Oh.
Not that one. No, not that one.
But you would agree that when it's from the heart and it's real, would you say those are the best songs? Just the more honest you are, the more you let loose your true self. Because I've always found that there's the more on, not trying to be cool, I'm going to be honest. And those are my favorite records.
Absolutely. And I think that goes, I think anyone who is writing poetry, writing songs, mostly, you know, regardless of what genre it is, whether it's traditional country music, whether it is rap, whether it is, you know, folk, whatever the case, of course, you know, it's gonna pour out of a songwriter, no matter what the genre.
In our live Facebook chat right now, our good friend who helped put together this interview with Biff Naked, Miss Karen Bliss, music journalist extraordinaire, she just said, "Dan, you should cover that song." I agree.
Wow. Succulent remix?
Yep. Oh my gosh.
Oh, I agree.
Biff, I wanted to ask
so
you,
funny.
I have mentioned this song a couple times so far today. I love it. The music video you released earlier this year, Jim, it popped in my head. First of all, I love the song.
Thank you.
When I'm watching the video, you know, the man in me watched this and said, "Is this the most naked Biff Naked's ever been in a video?" I think it might
be. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I have to laugh, you know, because I think of all the photo shoots I've done.
Photo shoots, yes.
I have to. I get a pain in my sinus. I have to hold my nose and go, "Oh my goodness! Like,
what have I done?"
I have to laugh. Well, you know, and I just think nothing has changed in the way women, I guess, in what's in fashion and what women wear in videos or photo shoots. And even when I was a young artist, it was, for me, it was a struggle. You know, when I first put up my first record, I didn't wear makeup. You know, I was desperate in my first couple of bands to ensure 100% that I was never misinterpreted. It was so important to me to never be misinterpreted. And I knew, regardless of anything else, that only I could control my own behavior and my presentation. Mm. And so, you know, for me to, you know, then, you know, abandon my, you know, punk friends and, you know, sign this record deal with a pop record label at the time. It was Johnny Jet Records. I think they were called Plum Records, distributed by A&M. You know, I was a traitor. You know, I had betrayed all these things. And so it was always a real hard decision for me, you know, and a lot. Hey, it was the 90s. Every single girl singer was in a half top. You know, if it wasn't me, it wasn't Gwen Stefani. It wasn't these, you know, girl bands we toured with in Europe. And then there were the, you know, the real hardcore feminist bands that were like, hey, I'm in the mosh pit. All these guys are in the mosh pit. They're shirtless. They're sweaty and shirtless. Why am I like stuck wearing a shirt? You know, like that was kind of the mentality of us, that very defiant young women that we were.
There was always a lot of, there was always a lot of equality inside of like the punk genre of music. There was no bullshit, you know what I mean? There was like everybody was like treated as an equal, a lot more than people like we give it credit for. We are of the same age and stuff like that. And I grew up in Las Vegas, Nevada and stuff like that. And I was I got to be witness to a lot of the stuff like mid late 80s, you know what I mean? All of the good that good hardcore, that punk scene and stuff like that. So like and you yourself, when did you get turned on to, you know, to music? Because you know, you started off with a completely different life, you know what I mean, before getting into that style of music. And and who was it that turned you on to it first? Like, what was that band that made you go, yo, this is my shit right here, this is my jam?
Well, I think like every other Canadian kid growing up in the 80s, I was into metal. Like all the kids in school, you know, we all listened to Iron Maiden and and we all listened to Van Halen. Sure. You know, all of us remember the first time we heard the 1984 record. Yeah. And the first tour I saw was around the same time. It was Twisted Sister and Iron Maiden on the Power Slave tour at the Winnipeg Arena. We had just moved to Canada a few years before from Kentucky. And then I think that also with our generation, we were able to kind of, I don't know if it's that way today, I'm not a young person, but for us, man, you know, Rob Bass blew our minds, you know, that blew our minds. And that was monumental when that happened. We could go and see, for example, we could go see an Agent Orange and a DOA show. Yes. And the next week we could go see Ice-T on his Power album tour. Yes. It was a really interesting time. And, you know, and the Beastie Boys were, you know, happening. And for me, the band that did it for me, besides the Cro-Mags, was was a band called Shelter. And Shelter was a Hare Krishna band.
Right.
Wow. So for me, as a young girl, I was influenced. Yes. Yeah. I was very heavily influenced by Krishna core. I was very, I loved it. It really, it spoke to me. Being born in New Delhi as a white girl, you know, and being adopted and having a birth mom that was adopted, I didn't have any connection. I felt like I was, I always say stateless, but the truth is it was the culture that I identified with. Mm. So the punk rockers that were into Hare Krishna, man, I was like, these are the kids that I want to hang out with. These are the kids that I hear what they're saying. I like what they're telling me. I like the music. And Shelter was my favorite band for a long, long time. And in Winnipeg, how I got it to be into music at all is a miracle. I had no aspiration. I was in ballet for 13 years. I was going into dance and musical theater. I was not interested in being a vocalist. It just happened that I just happened to fall into it because they needed a singer for a band. And that's just all that happened.
That's so cool. How's your plié?
My plié is really good. Yoga has worked wonders for me all these years, and they will for anyone.
You mentioned Van Halen. I'm curious to know, because we did a little tribute to Eddie off the top. So curious to know, we were having this conversation, Tid and I, saying, you know, where does Eddie rank all time guitarists? Tid's thinking top three. Where do you put Eddie Van Halen all time?
Oh, I think that, you know, he really defined a song, a sound.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, no one else played like him.
Right.
Yeah. You know, we're talking about basically, and I'm not a guitar player, so all sure. my guitar player friends are like, best stop talking.
What do you know?
That's okay. right. But okay. I mean, I feel like, I mean, for me anyway, it was really innovative. What he was doing, it was like, you know, two hands on the fretboard. That stuff yeah. was like, you know, we all remember it. We yeah. all, like, we all remember the first time we heard Eruption. We all remember it. And yeah, I think that I smile when I think about the great gifts that he left us all with forever. You know, I read these things on social media that are headlines like the Mozart of guitar. And you know, people kind of snort laughing at that. But I think, you know what? Wait a minute, you know, you look back centuries and centuries ago and how we view all these composers, we know them by name, right. you know, we know their pieces of music. Mm. And even if you're not into classical music, you know, when you hear Vivaldi, you know, when you sure. hear Beethoven, yeah, Mozart, yeah. And I just think people will always know his music. And it's,
you're awesome.
Yeah, it's crushing. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, we think of all these really iconic people that have passed away, like Prince, you know, yeah. like George Michael. It's just, yeah, it's
crazy.
Yeah, life, Bowie. You know, it's, yeah. yes. I mean, yeah. it's just, yeah. It's tough.
Are you the nicest punk?
She might be
like I'm sitting here and it's like, wow, there is like, we haven't had a nicer guest on this show so far, and it's crazy to me.
She'll still put you in a rear naked choke, don't get it twisted.
Listen, I mean funny. that's all fair on the mat.
That's right. I'm afraid of the mat, though. I mop the shit out of the mat. I'm like a white belt. I will clean the mats. Yeah, I will clean the mats.
I'm an elastic belt.
Okay. Yeah.
I can rhyme with Matt.
I'm a terrible martial artist. Look at that. See, we've got it handled.
Tremendous. I want to share this because I think this is awesome. In the intro, I talked about Biff's acting credentials.
Right.
We have a guest, and I'm not going to say who it is just yet.
Ooh, I love surprises.
Yeah, this is good. We have a guest joining us in 2 weeks' time who, when he heard that Biff was going to be on the show, he sent us a little video clip, which I'm going to share right now. So, hang on 1 second. Let me.
Who is it?
Oh, you're going to like this. This is a look, ladies and gentlemen, at Biff Naked acting back in 1999 or 1990, sorry.
90.
Oh, what is this?
I was having a dream. I was back in court being tried again.
It's all right, baby.
No, it wasn't like a regular court. There were these awful cops, and it was like a stormtroopers.
Oh my goodness.
No!
Where's the switch, ma'am?
Don't tell him.
Shouldn't have screwed me over, Momo. The switch is on the wall, officer.
This is just like the dream.
This is the dream, you dumb schmuck.
Hey!
You shouldn't have screwed me over, Momo.
Wow. I love it. That was from our friend Pat Mastriani. He is, of course, Joey Jeremiah of Degrassi. You were in bed with Joey Jeremiah.
Indeed, I was.
Pat is going to be joining us on this show in about 2 weeks' time.
Amazing. So that's amazing.
When he saw that Biff was coming on the show, he's like, tell Biff Momo says hi.
Amazing.
And he goes, wait, I'll do you one better. And he sends me the clip. And I thought, what a guy.
She gets Momo and Schmuck all in the same line.
Yeah, shouldn't have screwed me, Momo. I remember that. And you know, that was amazing because it with me in acting, I don't know. I never, it, I, that was once, a, it was it once a thief?
Yeah.
And so Nick Lee was also in that. He was, I believe, one of the detectives. And then years later, I would be in a movie with Nick Lee called Lunch with Charles.
Okay.
And so, and that was the first feature I'd ever done. And it was such a nurturing and beautiful experience. It was just amazing. I bawled like a child leaving that crew when we finished shooting. And, you know, I went on to do another feature after that. But the thing is, I had dogs and I just didn't I didn't like being on the set. I just it wasn't for me. It wasn't the life for me. I couldn't bring the dogs. I had a very a very loud multi-poo at the time, and it just it didn't work. I could not be on the set.
Multi-poo. I've experienced that before.
Three times a
Maltese
day.
Maltese poodle, and it didn't work for me. And so, I just it didn't work.
How cool is that? What a neat little really trip down memory lane.
I love it. I love that.
In prepping for this interview, I was doing some listening and some reading of some of your past interviews, and I saw something that I loved. And you mentioned something on a past interview, but the interviewer didn't go further on this point, and I have to. Okay. You mentioned that you fangirled the first time you met Jan Arden, with good reason.
Oh, yes.
And you were tongue-tied, and you didn't know what to do, so you told her a dirty joke. What was the dirty joke?
It wasn't really a dirty joke.
What did you say to Jan Arden?
It was terrible. It wasn't to her. It was to get her attention.
Yeah, and I want to know what you're saying. Because when I meet Jan Arden, I'm going to use the same joke.
It's so terrible. I was such a huge fan. And it was at the Junos where I met her. So I was nominated against Nickelback for best rock album, I think. Of course, I lost to Nickelback. But I was elated. I was so excited because I was the only girl nominated.
Right. But you just said Nickelback.
Love them. I was the only girl nominated. So that for me was my victory, because I will always find a victory in it. So I was invited to go to St. John's, Newfoundland, and present one of the awards. And that was with, or throw it, I don't know what we were doing, but I was with Jan Arden for the bit, and we had to rehearse it. And I was very, very nervous. Most of my career, especially back then, I couldn't believe that I would get invited to the table. You know, I could not believe these people had even heard of me and that I was even there. So I was very nervous, and I wanted somehow to befriend her in a way, but let her know that I wasn't just like some snotty little chick with a shaved head and tattoos. You know, because I knew she was funny. Like, she is extraordinarily funny and warm. And I knew that I had to, really make an impact. So we were doing the bit, we were rehearsing, and there was probably six of us. Her manager or tour manager was with her, a couple staff from the venue, and then this gentleman who was kind of showing us around, I guess, and helping us block the scene where we would do this.
Sure.
And it was just me. You know, I didn't have my manager with me. I didn't have a band. It was just me and all these adults is how I always kind of viewed myself. And I just thought, how am I going to make an impression on this really amazing, funny lady? And so the guy was busy talking, and then he said, does anyone have any questions? And there was this heavy silence. Yeah. And I just looked at him and went, I have a question. And he's like, okay. And I'm like, did I fuck you?
Whoa.
I was in high school, we know each other. And you know, everyone's jaw dropped to the floor. And he just looked at me and he went, no. He just went, no, you didn't. I'm like, I'm just kidding. And I went, I'm just kidding. And I felt like that's how I had to break the ice.
That's actually how Tid introduces himself to everyone.
Yo, that's a funny story, because I have actually had that happen.
Yeah, you have.
100%. And you're running through your brain in the real life, you know, and you're like, wait, did we?
Terrible. Well, you know what? And that will die with our generation, because now it's just not going to be
because
that
the other side of it is clearly I left a better impression on you than you did on me.
Yeah.
Right.
Dan, I know you got a question, Dan. Go ahead.
I do have one that I'd be remiss if I didn't ask it.
Yeah.
You have maybe the greatest background of any guest that's been on our show. We're giving you all kinds of accolades today, but especially based on conversations that we've had on this show many times, including this very episode, I can't help but notice that there's Breonna Taylor behind you. And I would love to hear literally any thoughts you have on the situation that is the injustice that people of color continue to face all over the world, not just the United States.
Oh my gosh, this is, I mean, my thoughts are a broken heart. Like it's a heartbreaking situation, and it always has been.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, I can look at what is my role? What is my responsibility? You know, as a cis het white woman in this world, what is my responsibility? And, you know, really my responsibility is to speak up when I can, and to listen, and to ask what do you need me to do? Because I want to do it, to put my body somewhere. You know, to put my mouth somewhere where it needs to be when I'm asked to, you know, step up, shout out, anything I can do. I mean, you know, there's a million situations that we can all think about that we have either heard about, known about, read in the news, whatever the case. This has always been going on. It goes on in every country. It goes on in Canada. And, you know, it's an onion. There's so many layers for us to peel, or as the popular saying goes, there's a lot to unpack. And it's hard. It is hard. It is awkward. It's weird. People feel bad. And also there's a lot of, now people feel defensive, and that's its own garbage that's happening in the world. And I just think, you know, what can you say? If you're a faith-based person, for example, which I definitely am, you know, you believe in unity, you believe in people caring about each other and loving each other and uplifting each other and helping each other out, regardless of race, gender, ability, circumstance, regardless of anything. And that's not always the case in the big bad world. And so when it is not the case, we all need to come together and find solutions and move forward to make them happen.
Well said.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You speak like a poet. You are a poet. As a hack poet myself, when all this COVID shit is done, I want to sit around and have a Dead Poet Society night with you, Biff Naked. We'll sit around and have mocktails and just read.
Oh, that would be amazing. That would be absolutely amazing. There are so many great books.
You read your own shit. You read your shit. I'll read my shit. That's
See. I like other people's writing way more than mine.
Switch it around. Switch it around. You read his shit and he'll read yours.
Oh, I like that too. I like that too.
That's just don't laugh out loud.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
I like it though. That sounds like reader's theater. I would totally be into that.
I'll make hers sound like rap lyrics. Speaking of which.
Oh,
he doesn't know I'm going to do this, but I'm about to put my boy on the spot. I did earlier today, I grabbed, but I'm making it harder this time.
Okay.
I grabbed the drums from Biff's song Heavy and I looped them. And Dan, I want you to perform for Biff Naked off the top of the dome. Okay.
Wow.
That's what's happening right now.
Not on the spot.
Wow.
Off the top of the dome, Danny O.
No pressure.
Listen, no one does it better than my bro Danny O when it comes to off the top of the dome. And these drums are so filthy, they deserve to be rhymed on. Dan, are you ready?
How are you playing this thing?
I'm gonna play it right through my system.
You guys are amazing. This is amazing.
You ready, dude?
Let's go.
Let's do this shit. You got that?
Yeah, I can hear it. Okay. Yeah. Biff Naked, your shit sacred. The name reminds me of when I'm a girl and she says, dictate it. Yo,
You're a Canadian icon. Gotta give you a respect. Any microphone that I'm on, I see it says Rise Strong. That's what Danny O does every time I start rhyme on. Or should I say rhyming? I can't hear the beat that well, so forgive my timing. But I'm going to show you just what I do. It's Danny O, I'm glad you're down with the G.O.B. crew. It's true, you're a songwriter, and I can tell your mind is brighter than the damn highlighter. Higher, gotta tell you that I respect the fact that you got Breonna Taylor right behind your neck. The motherfuckers hit the deck. When Biff Naked is in the building, show your respect. And yo, I put these rappers in check when I rhyme. And I can't hear the beat, but I hope I'm on time. I think it's because Donnie freaking looped it kind of sloppily, but I'll still rhyme properly. I got the monopoly of this rap shit. Every freaking tactic that comes out of my mouth, yo, I don't need no practice. It's freestyle, baby, from the top of the head. I love that you're bopping yours with every word I said. And yo, I take some advice from Karen Bliss. She said I should do a remix to that succulent shit. So baby, I wanna make you a juicy girl. Yeah, that's right, I wanna be your entire world. Your pigtails, I'll make them stand on end. And baby, trust me, there's no need to pretend. Yeah, I will kiss you on your pink teddy bear, but try not to cry when I spank you in that chair. Yeah, you wanna do a collabo, I'll be there. Danny O and Biff Naked everywhere. Yeah.
Wow.
Ain't nobody better on this.
Amazing.
On God's green earth, there is nobody better off the top of the dome than your
co-genius. I'm so honored. Amazing.
So cool.
Amazing.
When's the last time somebody freestyled for you over the drums from Heavy?
I can't say anyone's ever done that for me, and I am like blown away.
I'm your first.
Yes. Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
I like.
Yes, you are.
So good. Biff.
Tremendous.
You mentioned earlier Mona Lisa Healing. Give a shout out where people can find out more information, where they can find you on social media if they want to reach out, follow you, see what you're up to, your next virtual concert, whatever you got going on. Where can people find out more?
You guys are so nice. Thank you for having me on the show. MonaLisaHealing.com. is a company that changed my life and continues to every day. CBD helps a lot of people all over the world. You can find out more about Mona Lisa Healing at monalisahealing.com. We partnered with PETA to have certification. We're a cruelty-free product, and many of the products are USDA certified organic. Go find out more. My very first ever virtual streaming concert is on October 30th. I've never done one before.
Okay.
Because I always just kind of said no. And well, we're going to do one. And we're very excited about it. It's going to be on a platform called Juju Live, J-U-J-U Live. And yeah, it's on my Facebook page. You can see the link for that. It's $8. So it's $8.
That's amazing. If you're gonna play heavy, you got someone who can rap over it.
No kidding. Very interesting. Yeah, I never thought of that. We will have to start thinking about collaborations.
Little collabo.
Very cool. I would love that.
And your socials, your social media?
It's always Biff Naked on Facebook, Biff Naked on Twitter. Biff Naked was already taken on Instagram, so it's Biff Naked official.
Who's that
and,
jerk?
Right? And the dog is at Grace Freely.
Follow the dog, everyone.
That's right, yeah.
Three R's.
Grace the Three baby R's. Dog. Grace right? the baby dog, yeah. Yeah.
Biff, you are awesome. You are just an absolute pleasure. We are so thrilled to have you on the show tonight.
I'm so happy that you asked me. Thank you very much.
We have to do this again sometime.
Please. I would love that.
Next week. No, I'm kidding. We are going to do this again because you are just you're an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
Can ask you about veganism and convince these two why it's so important. We'll get into that next.
Yeah, convince me. I'm gonna go eat a steak.
No problem. I would love to. Yeah, I could talk about it all day long.
All right, cool.
Thank you, Biff. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Biff Naked.
Bye. Thank you.
Good night. Thank you.
Bye, guys.
There she goes, folks.
Tremendous.
Awesome. Dude, you spit fire.
Well, thank you.
Not you.
Oh.
Yeah, you dude, you need
I'm
to,
usually
you need
I'm to usually pissing
your looping skills, guy.
I'm usually pissing fire, to be honest with you.
you got to change your diet.
You need to shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I wanted to ask her about that, man, but you know,
I knew you did. I'm shocked.
Saving for next time. Yeah, sure. You know.
Hey, we'll do it like old like Knight and Conquering days. If a vegan can whoop my ass, I'll go vegan.
Really? Eh?
Yeah.
That's actually fair. That's fair.
Right?
Yeah.
Matt Danzig still around?
Who?
What's his name? Mac Dead? One of the vegan MMA.
Wasn't it John Jones who said he went vegan and then had to switch back to meat because he felt like he wasn't strong enough?
Well, yeah, because it's because he was in jail.
They only gave him leftover meatloaf.
No, it wasn't that.
No, I know what he's talking about. Kid's been on fire today. If you can rhyme, right, you destroy me, man.
Yeah, I got you. Jealous. If Tid could rhyme, he would murder you.
Yeah, that's what I just said, motherfucker.
No, that's I know. I'm on point.
You don't just bite bars. You bite shit that people just say regular.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Reduce, reuse, recycle.
He does that. Right. Yeah.
Gentlemen, Barles, parting thoughts before we say goodnight. Tid, parting thoughts?
You know, it's been a hell of a week. That was a fantastic guest. Thank you all absolutely so much. It's been great. We are in the middle of, don't forget, we are in the middle of a voting season. We are in the middle of a pandemic. We are in the middle of a NFL football season where there's a lot of dummies that are getting COVID-friendly, and it's been silly. So, like, we need to get everybody on the same page, regardless of what your views are. Everybody needs to get on the same page so that we can put a stop to all of this, so that we can all get back to the disgusting, horrible lives, being pieces of shit humans that we all are in our own special ways, right? But at least I know I'm a piece of shit human trying to do good things, not like the others.
Well, you ain't no piece of shit human, homie. I don't hang with pieces of shit. I much respect to you guys again for always, you know, being on the right side of this good and evil fight. My parting words real quick. I want to shout out my homie Jamie Petch for hooking me up with this dope t-shirt. Nice. This is the t-shirt that I wear in my brand new music video. It's called the Deadbeat Diss Track. We've played it, I think, on the show. It's from my last album, The Day It All Changed. And the video premieres tomorrow, Friday, October 9th. The video will be out everywhere. And I'm excited about that one because obviously I'm pretty adamant about how I feel about fathers who don't take care of their children. So there's a diss track for all y'all, taking care of all y'all in one record. And I think we're going out on it, or it'll be played today.
We're going out on it right now. Go ahead and tee it up.
Very tee proud up, of this DJ new Dan. Record. This is my new Japanese single. It's coming out on an album called How Many Beats, Volume 3, in Japan on cassette and vinyl. It's called Hot Popsicles, produced by my man Sky, the Cooking Jacks from Shizuoka, Japan. And this record, I've had a lot of people, not just on the show, outside of the show, online, everyone, all the time talking to me about how I feel about all the police brutality, the racism, the social injustice, and putting it in my music. Well, this is that record, and I address those very topics. So listen close and bump it loud, y'all.
Kudasai.
Yes, sir.
This is it, ladies and gentlemen. This is Hot Popsicles on behalf of the notorious TID, Chris Tidwell, and your bro, Danny O. My name is Donnie Da Silva. Remember, we have been podcasting since before podcasting was even called podcasting. This is Hot Popsicles, and we will see you next week.
Yo, no need to tell me to go to hell. I'm already living in it. I'm convinced it's death each instance. A uniform devil visits. 8 minutes and 46 seconds to split. Next is a detective. Sick entrance on his cover letters. Fifth sentence. Trying to find a job to start a mob. The nation's a Molotov cocktail on a lob from rotten cops who then go call on God's name and claim they doing his work. Labeling blacks as crooks and all protesters as stealers like they from Pittsburgh. But like some pirates, they are the cause of all the riots. Break law and then deny it. The floors, departments hide them. We're nauseous, vexed, and tired. And this bed is so uncomfy. Our society's cracked along the lines of Humpty Dumpty. Cause if you're black, you a target. And if you're white, you were martyred for bringing gas to be part of acts that oppose the fact that this even started. See, avoiding a cop shot pistol seems not possible. Like hot popsicle.